the house on the cul-de-sac. I have these two children that I prayed for. I'm serving in church and I am empty. Most of the people around them are asking this question, is this as good as it gets? Is this really what it's all about?
Hi, I'm Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and certified neurocoach who loves helping Christian women learn how to renew their minds using brain science and biblical truth. If you struggle with anxiety, perfectionism, worry, feeling like you're never enough, you are in the right place. I've been there and I understand how frustrating it is to know God's truth but not feel it in your heart. I created the Christian Mindset Coach podcast to teach you practical brain and biblically based mindset tools to help you step out of overwhelm and step into the confidence, the joy, the peace, and the closer walk with God that comes from a renewed mind focused on God's life-giving promises. Grab a cozy spot and let's get started. It's here. The Christian Mindset Makeover is now open. This is the popular 9-week course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts. And I want to teach you some of the practical things we share in this course with a free workshop. I just opened up a ton of new workshop time, so go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to get a behind the scenes look at the Christian Mindset Makeover course and even learn some of the practicals we talk about in the course from this free workshop. Go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind right now and sign up for the free workshop. Welcome back to the Christian Mindset Coach with Alicia Michelle. I'm so glad that you're joining me today for today's episode, especially since today's topic is a question that I definitely have asked at several points in my life. And as you'll hear in the interview, we talk about how a good majority of us, and especially those of us even in church, feel like this. And the question is, we can wonder at times in life, is this it? Is this as good as it gets? It's a great question, and I really think it's one of those core questions in life. The reason why we're talking about this from a mindset perspective is because the source of that peace, that comfort, that satisfaction that we're really looking for starts with Christ, and it starts with understanding how we can let him change our views, change our mindset on some things that are keeping us from really enjoying the full and vibrant life that John talks about in John 10:10. And it's a journey that a lot of us maybe may ask that question, but we don't know how to get to it. And that's why I'm really grateful for today's conversation with my guest, Wendy Pope. I can't even tell you, when I recorded this episode with her, I left feeling like, wow. I'd been churched, girl, is all I got to say. Great words, great wisdom, and it is taken from her book, Yes, No, and Maybe. She wrote that book a couple of years ago, and it really is a great resource if you are in that place of asking, is this as good as it gets? So before we get into that conversation with Wendy, I wanted to share with you a listener review. I love having these near so that I can share with you what other people are receiving from our time together here on the podcast. And also as a reminder to you, if the podcast is an encouragement to you, I would be so honored if you would leave a review and a 5-star rating, if it's earned it, in your favorite podcast player. The one that I tend to pull these from is one that I use the most, and it has the player that most of the listeners tend to use, which is Apple Music or Apple Podcasts. And so you would just simply go to, if you are on an Apple device, you would go down to ratings and reviews. You would click the number of stars, preferably 5 stars, if it's earned it, and you would just leave a quick review. That helps me to understand what's really resonating with you guys, what I need to do more of, and it encourages me to keep going and to keep sending these messages out there. And it also tells the algorithm inside of Apple Podcasts that, hey, this is a good show. I recently found out that this podcast, The Christian Mindset Coach, is ranked as one of the top 1.5% of all podcasts globally, like every podcast out there, and there's millions of them. And so I was quite floored and humbled and honored to be in that place. So thank you for listening and for helping us get this word out. Here is that shared review from Jen Prue, number 22. She says, Alicia has such a relevant and sincere way of meeting women right where so many of us find ourselves struggling, the battlefield of the mind. The use of neuroscience in conjunction with biblical truths are a powerful combination. I've greatly benefited from this podcast and find myself gleaning valuable truths every time I listen. I hope that that is something that you're able to do too, that you are able to glean just even a nugget of something that inspires you, that encourages you, an action step to take on how you can take back control of your mind. And thank you, Jen, for this comment. Let's get to this conversation with Wendy right now. Wendy Pope is a speaker with Proverbs 31 Ministries and contributes to the Proverbs 31 online devotional encouragement for today, which reaches over 1 million readers each day. She is the author of Wait and See, Yes, No, and Maybe, and Hidden Potential, and teaches thousands of women worldwide online through her one-year chronological Bible. Wendy lives with her family in North Carolina. And Wendy was someone that I met at a conference, just one of these God divine appointments. God had it just so that we had this right off the bat instant connection. I really, really appreciate her perspective. And I really appreciate how her knowledge of God and her connection with God drives her mindset every day. So here is that conversation with Wendy around the topic of when you wonder, is this as good as it gets? Hey, Wendy. Oh my gosh. Thanks so much for being here on the podcast today.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I love any time I can get together and talk Jesus and the Word with anyone. I love that.
Amen. Yes, amen. Well, this topic is highly relevant, I think, to any woman. So many of us wonder, how can I have more? How can I just have more out of life? Like, I have a good marriage, perhaps. I have a, you know, I have my kids. I have a family. I go to church. But is this all that there is? And I wanted to have you on to share your story about when you encountered that situation for yourself and some things you learned from God about that. Yes. So just to start our time off, can you share a little bit more about that crossroads moment for you where you kind of said, you know, is this as good as it gets? And what was going on for you or some emotions or things you were experiencing in that moment?
Yes, I would love to. Okay. So just a little bit of background of who I am without going into, you know, too much detail. I was born and raised in the church. Prayed over. My parents, it took them a while to get pregnant. The whole church was so excited when my mom and dad, Bob and Faith, finally were pregnant with Wes, my brother. And then, oh, they weren't going to have another one because it was impossible. It was a miracle that my brother was even born. And guess what? 3.5 years later, here I was. So, I mean, it was like, I don't want to say I was adored, but I had been so prayed for. So what I want to do is set the stage of where I was in my life. I was in the church from the conception, and I've always been in the church. And I believe truly the essence of the book, Yes, No, and Maybe, that your question is referencing to, is to that person, not that it's not relevant to someone that's not in the church. I don't want to put that out there. But so many of us are like me that have been in the church, so many that have been in the church like me from conception, born, raised, you know, the hymn, Amazing Grace is 188, Holy, Holy, Holy is number one. I mean, you know them. I wore the robe and the stole in the choir. I couldn't wait to sing in the choir. I mean, I did Bible drills. Do you even know what Bible drills are? Alicia, do you know?
I don't, you know, see, I didn't grow up in the church, but I didn't become a Christian until I was 19, but I have heard of Bible drills and I've had to raise
Bible
my own
drills.
Kids. So.
It's salute, draw your sword, and then they call your verse and you have to try to find the verse really quick and you step forward and you read the verse. I mean, I was that's who I was.
Yeah.
The man that I married was in the church. His family was also in the church. We were the wedding that everybody came to. It's like two big families get their children get married. And it's where even we ran out of food at our reception. Our hostess came out, or our planner came out and said, we had no idea this many people were coming. Wow. So I'm not putting me on a pedestal. I'm painting the picture of where I was. Yeah. I literally married the man of my dreams down to hair color and eye color and red fast car. Seriously. Okay. So fast forward, we get married. We have this beautiful life, dink, double income, no children, dinks. Mm-hmm. We bought our home. We both worked in our careers. I was an elementary school teacher. Scott was in sales. We started to try to have our family, and we had a hard time, but we finally had our child, our first little girl, our first child, and our second one's a little boy. And I find myself pregnant with my second child wondering, oh my goodness, is this it? I paid attention in Sunday school all of those years. I know all of the hymns. I know where most of the books of the Bible are. Sometimes I have to sing the song or look in the table of contents, but I'm on the steady path here.
Yeah.
I'm doing all the right things. And oh my goodness, is this it? Hmm. I had the minivan with the two doors open and on the side. Now, I didn't have the auto doors. They came out a couple years later. I'm a little bit older than the auto doors, but the two doors on the side, the TV in it, the house on the cul-de-sac. I want to paint the picture of this is what the world tells you is going to fulfill you.
Yes.
It does not.
Right.
The world lies.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that is going to fulfill you and give you, and before we started, you were praying about the abundant life. And Jesus mentions that in John 10:10.
Right.
We want the abundant life, but we don't want the cost that comes with it.
Mm.
Christ paid the cost. Yes. And we thought, okay, he paid the cost. I deserve what he died to give me.
Mm.
Okay. And whether I thought that out loud in my head and I knew I was thinking that, or at this point in my life, I really don't think I thought that much about it. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm married. I have this beautiful home. I have this husband who works really hard for our family. I have these two children that I prayed for. I'm serving in church and I am empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you I'm speaking to someone today. Probably I would even say half of your audience that's listening today.
I believe you. Yeah.
Maybe even more than half.
Yeah.
In fact, the people are sitting beside in church when they go the next time, most of the people around them are asking this question, is this as good as it gets? Is this really what it's all about?
Yeah.
And I was very empty. My marriage, the man I prayed for, guy with the blonde hair, blue eyes, fast red car. We still had the fast red car that many years later. And here I was not happy and empty thinking, oh my gosh, I'm 34 years old and I'm going to be living the rest of my life like this.
Mm. Yeah.
And again, it's what the world says you should have.
Yeah.
Except for the dog and the white picket fence. I didn't have those. But yeah. I began to I was empty. I was sad. My husband and I had a rocky in our marriage. And as I share in the book, he said 9 words that changed my life. He said, when we had, I call it an intense moment of fellowship. when I had all the words ready to just zing him, just calmly, I don't yell, but just calmly out like I had really planned the words. And I said, you don't ever want to come home. And he said, you don't make our home a place I want to come to.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So that laid me flat.
Yeah. Right.
And I could either get mad at my husband at that point and just tear my marriage up and tear my family up. Or I could go, wait a minute. Is he right?
Mm.
On the off chance he's wrong, God will take care of that. He'll heal me from that wound because that hurt. On the chance that he's right, is this the life that I want to create for my family?
Yeah.
And between the moments of emptiness, and then I do believe it was a divine intervention of the Holy Spirit that my husband said those words. And by the way, he is a sweet, loving man. I'm proud he said those words to me. It really takes a person that loves you to speak truth.
Sure.
And if he didn't love me and did not care about our family, he would have just walked out of that conversation. Yeah. It's brave of him to say those things. But having said all of that, I want to set the scene of where I went to the Bible. And that may seem obvious to most people. Well, of course, you're in church. You would know that's not the obvious place the Christian goes. The obvious place the Christian goes is to the store or online.
Yeah.
Or right. to somebody, a sympathetic ear that will listen at work that's maybe a member of the opposite sex.
Right.
A best friend that you can crab your husband out to or you can complain about. And friends are great. They are. But I decided at that point, okay, I'm going to submit myself to the Lord. And I didn't even know what that meant. Again, I'm ashamed to say that, but I'm also glad that I can say that. And I could admit at this point in my life, 20 years past that story, that God has done a miracle in my life. He has resurrected life in me. I was always saved. I was never not saved. We can't do anything to be unsaved, and we can't do anything to be more saved.
Sure.
But what we can do is live in the fullness of what he died to give us.
Right.
And I started chasing him. I thought up to that point I had been chasing him because I filled in all my Bible study blanks. I had highlights in my Bible and I had notes in my notebook. Isn't that what it means to chase after God? No. We show up on Sunday and we expect our pastor to fill our spiritual tank up enough to keep us going until we come back for either midweek Bible study. Most of the time, most Christians, I'm sorry to say, don't even do that. They wait for the next week. And basically, we're running on empty all the time. Our pastor can really just get us to a quarter of a tank.
Right, right.
What I hope to challenge people in the pages of Yes, No, and Maybe, Living with the God of Immeasurably More, is to challenge the believer. Yes, it's written to an unbeliever as well. There's a whole section in there about being saved. I've written out how to do that. But to the believer, to that girl and that woman that's sitting in church and she's hustled and bustled and she's gotten her family all dressed, packed all those diaper bags and gotten everybody to the nursery where they're supposed to go and is going to sit in church going, really? Is this it? It's not. It's not. I had to take radical steps at 33, 34 years old, being in church my whole entire life. I did not know how to read and study the Bible. I have since learned I really just need a Bible and the Holy Spirit. That's a lesson for another day, but you don't need a theology degree. You don't need an MDiv behind your name.
Right.
You need the Holy Spirit and the Bible.
Amen.
And Alicia, I started with Psalm 1. Psalm 1.
A great Psalm. Yeah.
If you have not read that Psalm, I encourage you after this podcast or even stop this podcast and go read it right now, because that word in Psalm 1 is even more important than anything that I'm going to say to you today.
Yeah.
Read Psalm 1. It talks about the blessed person who plants themselves by the river.
Yes.
And when I started with Psalm 1, the next day I moved to Psalm 2. And then I moved to Psalm 3 and then Psalm 4. And I think you see where I'm going. There's 150 Psalms, and it took me over 150 days because some of them were longer. I'm not a good reader. And honestly, I didn't really even want to be reading the Bible. I'm just going to throw it out there. I didn't. I wanted God just to fix it. I wanted the abundance without doing the work.
Yes.
And I realized if I want the abundance of Christ, I've got to have Christ intimately in my life. And the way to do that is through the power of his word and my agreement and obedience and submission to it. But I took those 100 and something days and I read those Psalms and I met a man, David, who wrote most of those, not all of them, Ezra, Moses. Some of them were written by the sons of Korah, which were the musicians in the temple. Some of them were unnamed. Solomon wrote some. But regardless, I met people, let me just say, I met people who I felt like I was reading my own story. How long, God, David said, are you going to leave me here? How long? Right. In one verse, he said, how long? Four times.
Ugh,
and I thought, if the king of all of Israel could ask God, how long?
Right.
With exclamation points. Surely I can. I met men who complained about their situations, about the enemies around them, about the things that were not going good at their life. I'd never approached God in that personal way. Mm. And I started talking to God as if he was sitting right next to me. Mm. Well, actually, I visioned myself. I was on my knees in front of what at that point I lovingly called my Jesus chair. But I had moved from the comfort of the chair to the uncomfortable floor. Mm. So I was really imagining and setting that scene of me sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I'm looking up to him and I am telling him, this is the marriage that I prayed for, but it's not happy. This is the daughter that I prayed for, but she doesn't sleep at night. Then this is the son I wanted, but he's got something wrong with him. He had a milk allergy. That's again, another story for another day, but didn't sleep for the first 9 months of his life. But you know, I told him all the things that bothered me. And here's the thing. He didn't fix them immediately. This is what he started doing. He started holding a mirror up to my face. And I didn't like that at first. But only a loving person, as I said a few minutes ago about my husband, only a loving person would show you, hey, you're skipping a beat here. You're out of the lane. You're in the wrong direction. This is my best plan for you. And it's been, my son is 22. So I will say it's been at least 23 years that I started meeting with the Lord before I met with my family. I say I have to be with Jesus before I be with my family. It's kind of like the Incredible Hulk. You won't like me if you make me mad. Bill Bixby, when he said that. I'm dating myself. Y'all go look at the original Incredible Hulk.
I remember that. I remember Lou Ferrigno on that. Yes, no worries, girl. Exactly. I got you. Yeah.
I started that way. And I start that way now. Mm. That many years later, this is still how I start my day. My dog knows where to find me every morning. My children knew where to find me all of those years. They knew where to find me in the morning. If they knew I was not in the bed, they knew where I was. And they knew they could interrupt me. I didn't get mad. I didn't, because time was not mine. I don't own anything. I'm a steward of it. If you need to come in and talk to me, because I remember my son at one point said, well, I was scared to come in there and talk to you. You were talking to God. I said, well, I can talk to God all day long. Yeah. You're my priority. You know, come in.
Do you find it hard to let go of worry? Do you struggle with feeling like you're never enough? Or maybe you're frustrated because you can't make the changes you want in your life, losing the weight, starting new habits, or growing in a certain area. Both brain science and scripture show that every action we take starts first with a thought. If we change our thoughts, we can change our results. So, what are the most effective ways to change our thoughts? According to the latest neuroscience research and timeless biblical wisdom, well, I want to give you the inside scoop at this free workshop. Sign up now at vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. You'll discover why it makes sense you're stuck in toxic thought patterns. You'll debunk 3 popular myths about overcoming negative thoughts. So many women are stuck in these. And you'll learn a simple 3-step strategy to manage negative thoughts in the moment. I mean, this powerful tool alone is worth coming to the workshop. Plus, you'll get an inside look at the Christian Mindset Makeover, the only course that equips Christian women with powerful brain science and biblically based tools to break free from negative thoughts in only 9 weeks. Go now to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to sign up for this amazing free workshop to learn how to transform your thoughts to transform your life. That's vibrantchristianliving.com/mind. I'll see you there.
I started chasing God and realizing when you get to Psalm 119, oh heavens, if you have never read Psalm 119, prepare yourself because it's 176 verses. Mm-hmm. Take a little bit at a time. Even if you're a speed reader, you don't want to speed read that chapter. It is now my favorite chapter of the entire Bible because all it talks about is the beauty, the security, the life, the strength, the joy, the blessedness that comes from the statutes and the law of the book. And once I learned, oh my, okay, His words are not burdensome. His commands are not burdensome, Peter says. I'm like, oh, they're not. Yeah, he does want me to go and seek forgiveness from my husband for such and such, or he does want me to try to mend the fence with this person. I wasn't in the wrong. I didn't think I was in the wrong, but I need to go and live in harmony with that person because if at all possible, his word says, live at peace with someone.
Yeah.
Live at peace with everyone. Now that person might not receive my apology. They might not receive my olive branch, but at that point I have pleased my Father. I'm not responsible right. for their response. I'm responsible for my yeah. response.
Right, right.
So that is where life is found. That is where the abundancy is found in Christ, is in Christ himself, in his word. I like to call it a beautiful dance. Mm. It's a dance between me or with me and the Holy Spirit with the word of God that sings the song, that pounds out the notes, that dictates the rhythm.
Yeah.
It's the word that takes the rhythm of the dance between me and Holy Spirit. And I don't say the Holy Spirit. I say Holy Spirit because I believe he's a person. He's one in the Trinity. And I don't say the Jesus. So I'm not going to say the Holy Spirit. So I call him Holy Spirit by his name. But I've learned that that's not as good as it gets. And where I am right now, as beautiful as I think things are, and they are beautiful in my life with a lot of hiccups and trials that I'm right in the middle of.
Yeah.
It's still not as good as it gets. Mm. It will be as good as it gets when he comes to get me, either
Amen.
By my physical body dying or him coming to get me when he comes to get out all his children from this world. But until then, I just want to be with him. I want to talk to him. I want to read his word. I want to do what he says. And this is not something that is taught in church very often anymore. Our church sermons are very watered down. They're very 3 points in a poem. This is how you find joy. Or here's seven. We're going to have a series on blessed and how to be lived blessed lives. And we're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount. Okay. Those are great things. I'm not knocking that. I'm not, because I love the church. I love my church. I love my pastor. I pray for my pastor, but when I go to church, he's topping my tank off. He's not filling my tank up. He's not right. responsible for my spiritual growth. I am. Yeah. I'm the one that's going to have to answer when I get to heaven. Hey, your book was great. I read it. I loved it. And to the best of my ability, I lived it. Or I didn't have time to read it. I'm so sorry. Which, what do you want to say to the Lord when you get there? And of course, the Bible is challenging, Alicia. People are like, well, I don't have a degree, like I said, or I'm scared I'll understand. I won't understand, or I'm scared I will understand and I won't want to do it. Let me just go ahead and put everybody's mind at ease. Yes, you won't understand. And yes, you will understand. The Bible is meant, it's a living document. It's a living word, and meaning that what applied to that woman at the well in Samaria, same thing applies to me. I can take my emptiness, my brokenness, and I can go straight to that well. That's, yeah, the world's well will give me some water, but it won't quench my thirst.
Yeah.
And I can apply that to my daily life. But I guarantee you, there'll be things that you don't understand. There'll be things you don't want to do. But that's where the abundancy is found. Jesus said that the gate is narrow. There's only going to be a few that are going to get it.
Right.
And I want to be one of those that get it. And I want to use my life to encourage and to teach others. This is where it's found. This is how you go through that narrow gate.
Yeah.
So that's a really long answer.
But it's a very comprehensive and true and powerful Holy Spirit filled answer that we want a simple step-by-step answer. And it really is being willing to, it's like resting in God at the same time of pursuing him and seeking him. I mean, it's both.
It is.
And it's not just this emptiness where we think, God, just hand it to me. It's not that. It's not about that. It's not just God handing it to us. It has to be about us pursuing in the dance that he's already started. Not that we're mm-hmm. starting the dance, mm-hmm. but we're pursuing him side by side. And in the book, Yes, No, and Maybe, you mentioned three things, which I would love for you to just quickly go through. I know the first one is obedience. And yeah. I know that's something, if you listen, as you listen to this podcast, ladies, you know, we talk about obedience a lot. It's not a very, it's not a very popular word anymore, but no. It's a word that, like you said, is the secret key to abundant life. It is seeking God yes. and obeying his word.
Exactly. And, you know, we're scared, at least I was conditioned because I was raised in the church. If you say yes to God, you're going to go to Siberia or you're going to go to Nicaragua or you're going to go to Africa or you're going to go some, you know, he might not send you on a foreign mission trip. He might send you on a mission trip to your home.
Yeah.
That's probably what
which is harder.
That's going to work. Exactly. Give me rice for a week.
Okay? Amen. Right.
But yeah, so it starts with yes. And for me, I was still am. I'm stubborn. Mm. I think my way is the best way. And I am not easy to, I don't submit easy. That's been my nature. My nature is to do that. So I have to, that obedience is working against your nature. And what I teach in the book is that yes, creates or cultivates trust in God.
Yeah.
He started out with the little things, just my attitude. Then he would start out with how I was treating my family. Am I looking for applause from my husband for doing things that a wife is expected to do? Those kinds of things. And am I doing them for his recognition? Or am I doing them because I love him? And am I going to do them if he doesn't thank me? Those little tiny things. Yeah, right. And you start that. And I tell the story where, you know, he had me cleaning the floor in my hair salon. Ugh, I did not want to do that. But it was like, this is what I want you to do. And I said, yes, Lord, they have people to clean the floor. And he said, yep. And today it's you. Mm. Okay. So it gets to that place. And then I'm like, oh, this is really kind of fun because the next person that comes in here is going to see a shiny chrome faucet. They're going to smell the cleanliness of this room and they're going to love that. Right.
Yeah.
So it cultivates trust. God is not going to give us any information about our life and his will for our life if he doesn't trust us to obey it. Mm. He's not going to give us the next step if we haven't obeyed the first step.
Amen. Yes. You're right.
Also, what we see is we can trust him, but he sees that he can trust us. And yeah. The trust is reciprocated.
Right.
And you do get, I promise, you get to the place where this first principle, maybe you want to call it yes to God, is actually you're enjoying the dance. Even if the notes that are being tapped out by the Holy Spirit through the Word, and you're doing things you don't really want to do or you don't find enjoyable, or that are hard, you know, you get to the place where you're pleasing your Father and you love it, and it's like you have a secret relationship. I don't know how to describe it anything better than you have this secret best friend, and then you're going along and you're enjoying being a Christian and you have all of these side conversations with God and you have these little side jokes with God and you find out how funny he is and how the sense of humor he has and how he goes before you and you're enjoying this. And then bam, you run right into this next principle that it's where the rubber meets the road and it's no to self. Mm-hmm. No reveals God. Mm-hmm. No reveals or brings about revelation from God, not the book of Revelation, but revelation. Mm-hmm. We want to know more about ourselves. How are we created? What are we supposed to be doing with our lives? we do that by learning to say no to ourselves, which is counterculture.
Yeah.
It's counter our nature. In fact, Louis Giglio says in his book, I Am Not, But I Know I Am, he calls it a daily funeral. So basically, each morning when you get up and you're having your quiet time with God, you're also having a funeral for yourself.
Right.
At that point, you've right. awakened and you no longer exist. It's Christ in you to do his will and to glorify him in everything, whether it's changing poopy diapers all day, whether you've got a baby strapped to your breast and another one you're reading a story to, whether you're going into the corporate world, whether you're going into an operating room and you're saving someone's life that day, or you're repairing a broken bone or replacing a knee, whatever you're doing that day, that belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this to me is where the Christian stops and gets sedentary, because
yes.
it's when God right. begins to get in your business. You don't mind him revealing things to other about other people. And
right.
go fix them. And that's where I was in the book, is I talk about the fact that I wanted God to fix my husband. I wanted to sit over here and feel good about God and feel good about my relationship with God while God was fixing my husband. But mm-hmm. little did I know, I brought a lot of that problem in my marriage myself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And yes. Yeah. And there were things that needed to be revealed to me. And I want to caution, or I want to let your listeners know, God is not a bully.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't yeah. want to know how I can be more like my father, don't ask the question. First off, don't ask. Again, you're not going to be more saved or less saved. You're just going to be living a less than life
right.
than what he
yes.
died to give you. That's what
exactly.
that's what it boils down to.
Amen.
Yeah. But you will, at this point, you've got to make the decision. I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all in. Mm-hmm. Whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. You're going to supply the power. His word says that he supplies the power and the will to obey him. So that's amazing to me. I don't know if that catches you or anyone else off
yeah.
guard, but what
yeah.
he wants me to do, he supplies the power and the will to do. I don't even have to do it. I just have to be open. And I have to be tuned in to listen to him.
Yeah.
And understand right. how he speaks to me. So this section of no to self is where many Christians just stop, because it's counterculture. And I keep saying that word because the world tells us to put ourselves first. You know, you need to break the glass ceiling. You need to grab the brass ring. You need to go to school and you need to get the degrees behind your name so you can get this job, so you can do that. And I'm proud for people to go to school and get degrees and advance themselves. And God loves that too. He loves wisdom. He loves knowledge. Read
right.
Proverbs.
Sure.
But not away and apart from him and the wisdom that he gives and the word. So that's a tough area. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think you're right. That's the not so easy part of the road. That's the tiny part of the road that's hard to find. Like, we just want to have the road of Jesus, you're my best buddy. And
oh, yeah.
we hang out and you're cool.
Yay,
like
Jesus.
You're saying, yay, Jesus.
Bumper
and
sticker.
Seriously. And there's a very real commitment that's required. And that's not to scare people, but that's mm-hmm. the reality of the depth that we're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
I think
oh, yeah.
Just even recently, some of my kids in some situations I don't want to go into too much, but just basically they have been a little disillusioned by some church activities and the lack of depth. And mm-hmm. these are teens saying this, like, mm-hmm. why don't we talk about deeper things? Why don't we get challenged to do this? And it's easier and more fun to just kind of keep it light and fluffy and go, mm-hmm. Jesus loves you, blah, blah, blah. Like, mm-hmm. and I don't mean blah, 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 but I mean, there's a whole nother side of the coin that our mm-hmm. people are missing the depth of the Christian life by not stepping into the no side, like you're saying.
They are. That is really where the life is found.
Right.
We think the life is found by the bumper stickers and the praise music and the, you know, hands in the air praising God and, oh, we feel good. It's like a Sunday morning's a pep rally for God and all of that. It's in the dark place of the morning when you're meeting with him and you're reading his word and he brings something to your attention and you're like, oh, wow. Oh, my. Oh, thank you for the grace, God, that you didn't just rip the Band-Aid off that wound, but you slowly by grace are revealing to me what is wrong with me. Because we're the reason we're not where we are supposed to be and where we want to be. The life that we want, I say, is the life that we want starts with yes to God. It's one yes away. It really is. It is one act of obedience closer away, closer to what we want. We've got to start with it. Jesus started with yes. So how are we to think that we don't start with yes?
Right. But with the yes comes a no. You know, that's the other side you're saying. With the yes comes
I love that.
But that's just it. Like this, with the yes comes this responsibility of what it means to really own
that. Absolutely. Even Jesus himself said, hey, Dad, if there's another way we could do this, could you think of something else?
Right, exactly.
But he said no, and they came and got him, and they put him on a cross. And he accepted the no. He accepted the assignment. And that's metaphoric for us. Most of us are not going to die for Christ, for the cause of Christ. Some have. Some may have to. But for us, there's a picture that's a metaphor of us crawling on our cross or crawling on our altar every day and saying, it's not my life, it's your life. What is it that I can do today to glorify you, to show someone you? And we think, Alicia, don't we think that we're, oh, he's going to make me witness. He's going to make me witness to somebody at the Chick-fil-A or he's going to make me witness to somebody at the bank. Yeah. It's not that at this point, when you get through this no phase, you get to the point where I get to exude the love of Christ. We are not called to beat somebody over the head with the Bible to submission to God. We're just called to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and minds and souls and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the commands that we're supposed to follow.
Yes.
If just the church, would just the church do that? Can you imagine the difference the world would be in?
Right.
And how we would fully be living for Christ.
Right.
But we've got all of these mixed messages. We're too concerned about how many people liked or didn't like our post or how many people laughed or put a little thumbs up or heart to our TikTok. What is it? TikTok. I don't have that, but TikTok. You know, did anybody comment on my Instagram reel? You know, we just get so caught. What if we were more concerned about what God was doing in our life and thought about what we were doing in our life than we were about our Instagram likes?
One thing that we did not get to talk about in our conversation was that third part of the kind of three-pronged approach that God taught her in terms of getting past the is as good as it gets phenomenon. And so the first part, like we said, was saying yes to obedience. So yes to obeying God and connecting with him every day and knowing him. No to everything that has to do with ourself, strongholds, self-centeredness, self-sufficiency, so that we can fully step into that new, free, renewed version of ourselves and discover more of God. And as we shared, that is where a lot of people get stuck. That is the flip side coin of having always this genie God, so to speak, of God of grace. And then the part we didn't address was this third part, the freedom that comes when we are obeying God and we are seeing that mirror in front of us of saying no to strongholds, looking at ourselves and asking, am I really depending on my own strength or God's strength? Then God gives us the ability to have freedom to say maybe. We can decide based by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can decide, do I want to do this or not? And maybe allows us to work in partnership with God to create that abundant life. And that's why maybe is the unique side of decision-making that God allows us to take part in controlling our life. And I love that it's this kind of this permission slip, this freedom that's given as a direct result of saying yes to obedience and no to stronghold self-centeredness and self-sufficiency. So she goes much further into that concept in the book, Yes, No, and Maybe. So I invite you to check out that book. You can find it on Amazon, anywhere else where books are sold. It's a great read. So just to conclude this conversation, I want to always be aware that a lot of us maybe have gone to church or we have heard about God, and there still may be some of us who maybe have not ever made that full decision to follow Christ. We may have decided and gone to church, like we said, like, you know, I'm going to kind of do this thing, but have I really given my life fully to God? That's a question that we all are going to be asked someday, and we all really need to come to the answer to. So I want to invite you today to ask yourself that question. Have I fully decided to follow God? Have I said yes to God and really given my life to Him? And I invite you, if you haven't, to take some time to think about what may be holding you back from doing that, from making that decision to follow Christ. I invite you to get into the Word, like Wendy said, to get into the Psalms, to get into the Gospels, to read any part of the Bible. Those are great jumping off points if you're not familiar with the text or if it's kind of reading the Bible and understanding it is new to you. But to really dig in there and to see God for who He is and to not be afraid to ask the tough questions if there are things that have kept you from fully surrendering your life to God. Before we go, I wanted to make sure that you knew how to get in touch with Wendy and learn more about the work that she's doing with women. You can go to Wendy Pope, it's POPE.org, and learn more about her ministry, all the other books that she's written, and including the one that we referenced the most today, which was Yes, No, and Maybe, Living with the God of Immeasurably More. You can find that on Amazon or any other booksellers that you would find any Christian books. So check those out and learn more about Wendy. She has so much wisdom to share. Thanks again for hanging out with me. I love sharing these conversations with you. I really hope that today's conversation was a game changer for you. I know just again, talking to Wendy, it was a game changer for me. And I look forward to future conversations together. Take care. I'll see you back here next week.
Thanks for joining me today. Please go to ChristianMindsetCoachPodcast.com and click on podcast in the menu to get the full show notes and more information on the resources that we talked about. And don't forget to subscribe and to leave a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast player. Thanks so much in advance. I'll see you back here for the next episode.